Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is a good day to give our good God praise. Boy, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you for being here today. If you're visiting with us, you're our special guest, and we thank you this morning for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. Let's go to him this morning, a word of prayer, and just give him praise, give him glory, and ask him to do something great in the service this morning. Brother Ceylon, would you pray for us, please? Church, would you stand, join the choir? Well, let's turn over and sing something we haven't sung in a while. How about page number 333? I'll Fly Away. Everybody sing. We're going to sing all three verses now. Here we go. Some glad morning when this life is over. Church and choir, you can be seated as well. Again, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. I have a couple of announcements for you this morning, as well as a prayer request. Please remember Miss Glenda in your prayers. She was getting up and trying to make it here this morning and just got feeling really bad. So Brother David tucked her back away in the bed for some rest, I'm sure. But she is home. She may be listening this morning. If so, Miss Glenda, we're praying for you. And we love you, and please remember Miss Glenda in prayer. And I know that there are many that are struggling, going through some difficult times, and we just pray the Lord would have his hand on each of those. As well as announcements this morning, please remember our bucket down here in the front. We need to continue to try and help out with the shoe boxes. So if you can help out with that, the bucket is down here in the front, the jar. And I know that would be greatly appreciated. That's a great ministry. Please remember that. Ministry and prayer. Also, COU today, is that correct? Yes. Today at 3:30. Ladies, please be here. It'll be your regular monthly meeting in the Fellowship Hall, 3:30 for COU. And then at 5 o'clock this evening, there'll be a devotion downstairs, refreshments, and a good time of fellowship. This is our regular Sunday evening fellowship tonight, 5 o'clock. Please be here for that if you can. And also, please bring some food items, light refreshments, and make your plans to be here, if at all possible, this evening. So again, that's tonight at 5. It is great again to see you in the house of the Lord. And again, if you're visiting with us, thank you for choosing Calvary today for your place of worship, and we love you and thank you for being here, and pray that you will just feel at home in the house of the Lord. Please pray for Brother Brian. He'll be bringing our message this morning and coming in off of a week of revival. And I know he's had a great time there, and I know that the church truly must have enjoyed to hear Brother Brian each evening. I believe you were there through Wednesday, is that right? And so that was Sunday through Wednesday. So we just pray the Lord to continue to be with that church and to speak to hearts, and that they might go back and maybe remember something that they heard this week from Brother Brian. But you pray for him this morning. Again, it's great to see you here today, and we just pray the Lord would just have his hand upon the service. Let's go to him again in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service as well as an offering this morning. Father, we love you, and we do thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house today. Lord, what a joy it is. This is a day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, thank you for each one that's here this morning. Some are traveling and unable to be here today for whatever reason. I pray that you'd be with them. For those, Lord, that are only able to be with us on Facebook, Lord, we thank you for that avenue that they can still be a part of the service today. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Brother Brian. You know exactly what we need. And Lord, I pray that you'd open our minds and our hearts to receive your word. Lord, speak through him today in a powerful way. Lord, I pray that you bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Be with our church. Lord, you know exactly what we need. Lord, we thank you for those that are visiting with us today. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to them in a special way. Lord, we're going to praise you now. We're going to thank you for all that's accomplished here at Calvary today. In Jesus' name, amen. When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him and how He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley He led me, afraid as I could be, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? And why would I ever question his abilities. There's no place that I can go where he does not know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and what I need. I've been through enough to know that he'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that he's gonna take care of me. Cause I've been through enough to know that he'll be enough for me. Oh, I believe him now. After all these years, he's been so faithful. He's proven to be true. Oh, nevermore will I doubt or question why. Cause I've seen him work before, and I know what God can do. I've been through enough to know that he'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that he's gonna take care of me. Cause I've been through enough to know that he'll be enough for me. Cause I've been through enough to know that he'll be enough for me. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all you need. He's all you need. Jesus is all. Cause I've been through enough to know that he'll be enough for me.
started slow, and it seems I can hardly go, but still I see victory. Many times I'm walking by faith and can't see what lies before me, but still I see victory.
I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by His blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight.
'Cause
remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
Sometimes our battles get hot, and it seems we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and I'd give up too, 'cause I do believe you're bound to lose.
I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, 'cause I'm covered by His blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight.
'Cause
remember, you can't cross the bloodline. I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by His blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight.
'Cause
remember, you can't cross the bloodline. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight.
'Cause
remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
Mark chapter 4. Find your place there. That'll be good for you today, because it's the Word of God. Hey, today's a happy day for a couple reasons. Tonight we have a church fellowship, and what church fellowship means that you will play a part in bringing the food tonight. We're doing finger foods tonight, and the young people wanted me to announce that steak tips and crab legs, those are all finger foods, things you can hold in your hand, you know. If you'd like to bring any of that, you're welcome to do that. But whatever you bring, it'll be a blessing to us. And I want to encourage you to come to that. That's been a real blessing to our church. There's a lot of love in that room. There's a lot of friendship in that room. There's a lot of encouragement in that room. There's some comfort in that room. We really don't have a mean person in our church. We really don't. And it's a good time for us to come together. And we've got a message from the Lord. There'll be a song or so. It'll be a blessing to you. We typically are out by 6 o'clock. So you just come slide in at 5 o'clock. Get a little fill on your tummy. Get a little fill in your spirit. And it's good for you. Also, today, do we have a picture for it? Today is Orlando's 12th birthday. Woo! And because you all know I can't sing a lick, Presley's going to lead us, but please help her in happy birthday to Orlando. The children were trying to give him his birthday spanking downstairs. I said, not in the house of the Lord. Beat him at the home. Anyway, sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Orlando. Happy birthday to you.
How about that? Very good. Thank you, Presley. All right. Now, you one day when Presley's famous, you can say she sang you your birthday song on your 12th birthday. At any rate, okay, you got your Bibles open. Mark chapter number four. I think I'm missing one more thing. Am I forgot to tell one more thing? I can't remember. Anyway, one of the wonderful things about the Lord is that he's a good parent. He doesn't want to leave us where he found us. Can you imagine having a child born to you and you just let him stay in that infancy stage? He wants to grow us, but the primary way that God grows us is that he chooses to stretch us. All those workout videos, you remember them, one and two, feel the burn on three. Anybody watch you a little, I don't know, Buns of Steel or Richard Simmons or whatever it was back, sweating to the oldies, right? The burn on three. We don't like that, but that is what causes us to grow. And I want to call to your attention this absolute principle of the Lord. The area that the Lord primarily would like to grow you is he wants to grow you towards knowing good and well you need him in your everyday life. He wants to grow you to understand that if you would involve him, lean upon him, walk with him, you could have help in everything that God has called you to do. By the way, I'll be honest with you, you don't want a preacher that doesn't have the help of God. You don't want a preacher just gets up and preaches something out of the book. You want somebody that's got some insight from the Lord. And can I ask you a question? Can you tell the difference? Can you tell it when somebody has spent some time and got some direction from God? You don't want a music guy who doesn't seek the will of God. Let's just sing whatever we want to sing. You don't want a Sunday school teacher that just gets up there and preaches or teaches some curriculum and just goes through it dry. You want somebody who's got the involvement and the guidance and the help of God. In the same way, you don't want to be a spouse that doesn't have the help of God. You don't want to be a parent that doesn't have the help of God, that brings some strength into your child's life. You don't want to be a grandparent. Oh, we need grandparents that can be helpful. This is the reason I chose to sing to Orlando today, because I believe with all my heart the treasure of our church is the young people. But listen to what I'm about to say. If some of them don't choose to walk with God, their grandchildren will not have the same opportunity to get saved that they did. Their grandchildren just will not. We will still be able to preach to your children, but your grandchildren are going to have somebody from your generation to reach unto them. And it's so very important that we bring the help of God. Any marriage knows it is so much better when we're doing it things God's way and whatnot. But remember what I said, God wants to grow you to that place. Give me a scripture that goes with that. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. That place of dependence, right? He wants you to grow you to that. But since we don't naturally choose to walk with God, since it's not natural for us to reach for God as a husband, reach for God as a wife, reach for God as a parent, God, when he's trying to get us to that place, he literally carries us through some things that are so stretching that we're going to have to depend upon him to even survive. Literally, he's going to carry you so that you learn in those moments where you have no choice but to depend upon him, you go, holy Calypso Batman, with the help of God, I got through that. And in the future, when you voluntarily have the opportunity, you're going to go reaching for the help of God. I'll illustrate it to you this way. David never recruited a lion or a bear to fight. He never did. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody in here at any stage of your life thought, I think I'd like to fight a wild lion or a wild bear? Anybody? You know why you don't want to do that? Because they will kill you, right? If you said to me, you want to fight a lion? I'm like, would you like some honey mustard with your sheep? You know, have at it right there. No, I have no interest in that whatsoever. But what David did involuntarily, he learned in that moment, hey, God can give me strength to do what I'm supposed to do. He was keeping his father's sheep as commanded by his father. And then you fast forward a chapter, and what is he doing? He's volunteering. You remember? He's volunteering to fight Goliath. He basically says to Saul, put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. I want to play. And he's choosing. And he runs at what every other Israelite person, maybe they were Christians, some of them were not, but he runs at what every single one of them has been hiding from Goliath. He's running towards Goliath. Why? God has demonstrated in his life, when you lean on me, you can have the strength and the help of God. In Mark chapter number 4, we're learning in the life of the disciples that God was trying to teach them a few things. In just the next 2 days, you're not going to believe the lessons he's going to cover. They're going to learn in 2 days Jesus has power over disaster, Jesus has power over demons, Jesus has power over death, and Jesus has power over disease. All four of those things are going to happen in 2 days, and these boys are going to need that knowledge. They're going to have to lean on that knowledge to be able to build the church like they did, and it's going to be so very good for them. So since they're going to have to get to that point, God is about to stretch the fire out of them. And in this story, it's familiar to our church, but in this story, there's going to be a life-threatening storm. There's going to be a crazed, naked, demon-possessed man. Did you catch that? Naked. Luke says the man wore no clothes. That changes the story, doesn't it, right? There's anytime that's involved, you know, something's going downhill in a hurry, right? The Bible teaches us also that there was a rejecting crowd, and that there were suicidal pigs. Go with me. I know we've heard it before, but listen like we've never heard it before. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. Watch them get stretched and see if you can find yourself there. I'll go ahead and give you a context clue. There's two groups of people in this story. Both of them don't understand Jesus at all. One of them says, I don't understand him, but I'm hanging on to him. One of them says, I don't understand him, and I'm pushing him away. Which one's going to be the winner? Who's going to win? The one that hangs on. Watch with me, if you will, verse number 35, chapter number 4. The Bible says, and the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. This is a yay day. Do you know why I say it's a yay day? Because we have a clear direction from God. Literally, anytime you have a clear direction from God, Carter, you have the opportunity to do what God said to do. And if you do, you will see what God wants you to see, and you will experience what God wants you to experience, so you can grow like God wants you to grow. All they have to do to jump in this journey is get on the boat. Get on the boat, boys. Get on the boat. That's the plan of God. Verse number 35, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. It is one thing for the boat to be in the lake. It's an entirely different thing when the lake is in the boat. Can I get an amen right there? Anybody ever been on one of those? One time we were in at the big canoe lake, Lake Pettit, right? And that lake, you're not allowed to use a gas motor. All you can have is a trolling motor. And one day, my wife and my son, my teenage son, we were out on one of those little John boats, and Christian was in the front, and I was in the back, and Melita was in the middle, and we were catching fish and having a great time when suddenly a crazy storm blew up, and I'm talking about white caps on that lake, like big old white caps. And I'm not kidding you, Christian was in the front paddling as hard as he could. I was in the back paddling as hard as I could. The trolling motor was running wide open, and we were going backwards. I'm not kidding you. We were going absolutely backwards, right? And Melita's attitude was, I don't care about the marina. I don't care about the dock. Take me to land. Take me to land anywhere you can. And that's the feeling that these people are experiencing, no doubt. Verse number 38 says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awaken and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They're feeling the burn on three, right? A situation has caused them to question the care of Jesus. You know why? They don't know Jesus yet. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, Jesus cares. They're on a rescue mission. It is his care that has carried them here, but they don't know that yet. And the Bible says that he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Give it up for Jesus. That's cool. You know what I mean? Anybody ever see Dion with his Rottweiler dog? Anybody remember Dion and his Rottweiler dog? It is Rottweiler dog that could bark and rah, rah, rah. And then Dion would just say, hush, Mika, and instantly, phoo. You know what I mean? He was the master of that dog. Jesus is the master of the wind. And he's just told the storm to calm down, and it obeyed him perfectly. And he said unto them, this is important, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They are feeling something they're not supposed to be feeling because they're not trusting someone they're supposed to be trusting. Did you catch that? They're feeling something they're not supposed to be feeling because they're not trusting the one that they're supposed to be trusting. Do you remember that Bible verse? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. When you trust in the Lord, your fears are going to subside. But here they're in a mess because they don't understand. Verse number 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Did you catch the words they feared exceedingly? It's on your board there. What do they fear exceedingly? What do they fear exceedingly in that verse? They're afraid of Jesus. There's no question about it. They went from being afraid of the storm to now they're afraid of Jesus. You know why? Because he just used his voice to calm a storm. And they're thinking to themselves, if he can use his voice to calm a storm, what could he do to us? And you know what Jesus could do to you? Jesus could calm your spirit. Jesus could bring peace to your world. Jesus could bring stability to your life. The Bible says Jesus offers a peace that passes all understanding, but they don't get it at all, so they are afraid of him. And now they've got a chance to get off the boat. I guarantee you, as they approached the land, they were thinking, oh, we need a walk on the beach to process this. They're probably trying to get away from him the way Peter said, get away from me, when he realized Jesus had such power. They don't get it. They don't get it. They don't get it. But they're not running away from Jesus. Can I tell you something that's so important for you today? When you don't understand your life situations, when you don't get why God allowed what he allowed, when you don't understand the pain that you're experiencing, don't push Jesus away and don't leave Jesus. Hang on, hang on, hang on. So Bible says, verse chapter 5, verse number 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. I just got to be honest with you. I imagine they get off the boat, and their glasses are like sideways. They've just come through a storm, and suddenly here comes a naked man. And before he ever gets there, they've got to be thinking, whatever we think when we see a naked man. I mean, just no normal dude wants to see another naked man. You ever at hunting camp, and all of a sudden your buddy decides to come out in his BVDs, and you're like, take that pasty white self back in the bathroom, put some clothes on. But anytime you see a naked man in public, you know the elevator doesn't always go to the top. He's a few fries short of a Happy Meal. Something is greatly mentally imbalanced. Before he ever even begins to speak, they're like, dude, this dude is broke and perfect, right? We're still soaking wet, and now we got a crazy naked guy coming. But if you see what it says in verse number 3, it says, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been bound often, they had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. I'm going to tell the church what I tell the youth group all the time. Do not play the devil's games. Do not play with the occult. Do not play with witchcraft. Do not play with Ouija boards. Do not go to palm readers. Don't go to people who have tarot cards. Here's why. The Bible says don't let sin reign, R-E-I-G-N, reign as in authority over your life. And if you play with lies, nobody will trust you. If you play with gossips, you can break all of your friends. If you play with lust, you'll destroy your marriage and your family, right? But if you play with demons, you're likely to get demon problems. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I can tell you this to be true. If ever in your life you need to pray a prayer that's something like this. You might not hear this in a Baptist church, but hear what I'm saying. There's power in Jesus' name, and you need to say, in Jesus' name, I take back all the ground that I ever gave to Satan. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, Satan, and all your works and all your ways. I renounce all of that. I want no influence of Satan. You're going to have the opposition of Satan all your life. You don't want the influence on the inside. I have a very limited exposure to people who have demonic problems, but in my limited exposure, all of the people I've met who had verified demonic activity in their life had played in those games, had introduced themselves. Some of their families had participated in sacrifices and witchy stuff and dark stuff. You don't want demonic activity. Look what it's done to this man's life. He's broken beyond description. They even kill the pigs. Don't play with the devil. Repent. The Bible says flee from that. Don't go anywhere near it. Verse number 5 says, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. This is the kind of guy you would warn your wife and children to stay away from. This is the kind of guy that you would worry about what they might do. This is the kind of guy that when you saw him coming, you might would want to grab a stick. He is so powerful through the demonic that you would be scared of him. Can I ask you a question? Is there any hope for this man? Is there any hope for this man? He's more broken than anyone I know in Scripture. Look at verse number 6. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Yay! Do you know why I say yay and I say praise the Lord? Because that's how I got rid of my darkness. That's how I got all my sins washed away. That's where I found the good things of God. That's where I got the internal help that I had needed all of my life. All of the external measures had failed me also. But when I connected to Jesus, I found all the hope of God. And I think to myself, he saw Jesus on his shores. He's been crying for days and days, but he had a shot to meet Jesus, and he shot his shot. When the Bible says he came running to meet Jesus, you can't tell me that I'm wrong. He was saying to Jesus, could you help even me? I need your help so bad. Could you help even me? And the Bible says God stands at the door and knocks. And if anybody will open his house, open the door, God will come in and he will sup with him. And he took his shot and the Lord opened, the Lord stepped into his life. And how did it work out for him? How did it work out for him? Do you remember? The Bible says Jesus cast out the devils who'd been destroying him. And then the Bible says the devils began to say, can we go into the pigs? And I'll be honest with you, that's a lot of bacon. That's a lot of sausage. I'm like, don't do it, Jesus. We need the smoked sausage. But the Lord said they could. And why would Jesus let them waste all the sausage? You know why? Jesus further wanted to demonstrate, don't play with the devil. He breaks everything he touches, right? He even killed the pigs. Do you remember the story? The pigs go running down the hill. They do a swine dive, Bible humor, swine dive. They dive into the sea. And the Bible says the people who were watching the pigs were like, wow, and it became the swine dive heard around the earth. Go with me to verse number 14, if you will. The Bible says in verse number 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were what? Man. What are they afraid of? They're afraid of Jesus too. They're afraid of Jesus too. This man that has power to literally deliver somebody and set him free. The Bible doesn't say they stood in awe at the hope that God had brought into this man's life. It doesn't say they marveled at the marvelous help that God had brought. It doesn't say that they were just in wonder. The Bible says they were afraid. And here we are again, another time in Scripture, somebody doesn't get Jesus because of something that's gone on in their life. They've experienced a financial loss, but these people handle it differently than the disciples. The Bible says they begin to push him away. And I repeat to you again today, when you don't get Jesus, hold on to him tightly. When you don't get what he's doing, don't push him away. Don't leave him aside. Walk with him, walk with him, walk with him. Go to verse number 16. The Bible says, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Literally, the first time, or maybe the second time I came reading through that, I screamed, no! Don't leave! Look where Jesus has been pushed out of. Look in Iran, what kind of hope that they have. Do you know that in Iran where there's no Jesus, they're executing women who are protesting, but they believe that if you're a virgin, when you die, you automatically go to heaven, so that before they execute them, they make sure they're not a virgin anymore. Look how dark it is in the places where Jesus is not. Look at all the places in our society, the dregs of society that have broken so many things. Don't push Jesus away. I think of this story and I think, man, just my prayer request would be like, my nephew needs some help, Jesus. Man, I've got family members got a spot, Jesus. Man, I got some people who could have their eyes open, Jesus. Don't leave, Jesus. Don't leave, Jesus. Don't leave, Jesus. Ah. Jesus is a gentleman. You've seen it your whole life. Somebody wants to push away Jesus. Jesus is a gentleman. He will let them push them away. But watch the compassion of Jesus through this story. The Bible says, and when he was coming to the ship, that's Jesus leaving. No. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. We do no damage to Scripture to say that this man's testimony was, Jesus, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Anybody in here say same here? Anybody here, same here? You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Take me with you. And you would think at this juncture, man, Jesus is going to take this guy on the road. I mean, what a show he would be. Telephone, telegraph, telehealed demoniac. This guy could tell the story, right? He's going to be unbelievable. But the Bible says, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. The most Bible scholars will tell you Jesus never came back to the land of the Gadarenes, but he left a light. And that man could tell the truth and say what Jesus had done for him. And now these people would have to go to him, but maybe somebody would get desperate enough and they would. I believe with all my heart God didn't leave him there for no reason. I do believe that there are people from that region who went to find Jesus on the other side, crossed the sea to make sure that they could find him. Jesus was not welcome there, but he loved them and he wanted to give them a light. Remember, the Bible says Jesus did not come to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. The Bible says Jesus came looking. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he has found him here. Verse 20 says, and he, that healed demoniac, departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. The Bible says he began to tell the story vehemently. I'm always drawn to this story because the utter pitiful state of this man. I've read the New Testament many times, and I can tell you he's the most pitiful one in it, no question. Let me prove it to you. Would you rather be poor or would you rather be demon-possessed? Would you rather be ugly or would you rather be demon-possessed? Would you rather be paralyzed or would you rather be demon-possessed? Would you rather be dead or would you rather be demon-possessed? He's got the worst one of all of them. The Bible says he's cutting himself. You thought that happened in the last 50 years, all of this self-harm. We're fighting the same spirits that they did long ago. If you look at what happened to Charlie Kirk, the same thing happened to Paul 2,000 years ago. Paul reasoned with them in the public square and they killed him. Charlie Kirk reasoned with them in the public square and they killed him. We still fight the same dark forces. But anytime you're doing self-harm to yourself, I promise you, you are being influenced by a powerful enemy that aims to destroy you. Don't do it. Years ago, Calvary had a staff member who said in their teen years, they would cut themselves. And I was dying to ask somebody this question because when you ask a kid, they can't tell you. But so I went up to her and I said, do tell me, why was it that you did that? And this is what she said. She said, before Jesus, I had so much pain on the inside that I could not identify, that I wanted to give myself pain that I actually knew what it was. And I wanted to distract myself from the internal pain that I had. And I said to her, well, what was the solution? How did you step out of it? You know what she said? Jesus. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. That's the solution. Don't cut yourself. He's cutting. The Bible says he lives in the tombs. Let me tell you something. There's no bakery in the tombs. There's no flower shop in the tombs. There's no fun diner gathering spot in the tombs. There's no friendship in the tombs. There's no comfort in the tombs. There's no mercy in the tombs. You know what's in the tombs? In the tombs there is rotting and there is death. Young people, please don't be drawn to skulls and skeletons and darkness. Parents and grandparents, if your young people are drawn to that, be very concerned. God is a God of life. And this man is in a world of death and it's so bad for him. The Bible says he's crying. Did you catch that? Crying night and day. Always, please, please, please stay with me. He's crying night and day. How many times have you heard somebody say, I only saw my dad cry twice, or I never saw my dad cry, or maybe I saw my dad cry once. You know why? Because men don't cry for wounds that are going to get better. We just don't. That's not the way we're built. I remember one time when Chuck Sprayberry died, my little boy, I'm ashamed of myself that I say this, but my little boy panicked so much and my wife was hurting so bad and my son was crying and I said, son, we are men. We don't melt. And he might have been 9 or 10 years old and he said, Daddy, I do. Men are not wired to cry, right? Men are not wired to cry, but when we do cry, it's because we have wounds that will never get better. And those 2 times that a man might cry, it's because doors have closed that could never be opened again. And I want you to notice that he feels that pain every night, every day. Every day he's crying his wounds that won't heal. Every day he's crying because things are not going to get better. He has no friends with him. The Bible says his mom's not there. His dad's not there. His coach is not there. There's no one there. No one in this town thought he was going to have a good day today. No one in this town thought he was ever going to have a good day again until Jesus. But when Jesus walked up on this shore, this man found hope. Where Jesus Christ is, there is so much hope. Think about the reversal in this man's life. This man meets Jesus, and suddenly the darkness has been pushed away and there is light. This guy who's been pushing away every relationship, now all of a sudden, guess what he can do? He can get married, right? He can step into any close relationship that he wants to. He could have children. He could have friendship. He could have all of those things in their life. You know what I've learned? A wise pastor said recently about a marriage, there's no better feeling than coming home to your front door and know that somebody's on the other side listening for your footsteps. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. That's just a precious feeling, isn't it? You know what's crazy? When Melina and I first got married, so help me God, when we first got married on our wedding day, I had this crazy feeling. I was like, I'm going to get to keep her. Holy Calypso Batman, my favorite ever, right? I'm going to get to keep her. When I would go out of town in the beginning, Melina would literally cry. For the first 3 or 4 years, if I were going out of town, she would cry and she would say, I'm going to miss you. We've been married for almost 27 years. Now when I go out of town, she's like, have fun. See you later, right? But I can tell you this, our love has grown. We've gone through joys and sorrows and help, and I have no dreams, no ambitions, no plans that don't include that girl. This guy who pushed everything away literally has opportunity to have these kind of dreams in his life. Think about the hope that he has. He could be a blessing. He's now part of something eternal. Instead of darkness, he's living amongst the living people, and he's sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's hope for him. You know what I love about the hope of Jesus Christ in my life? I told you, before I got saved, I lied, I cheated, I lusted, I stole, I cursed. I did all of those things. And if that was continuing in my life, my behavior, like his behavior, would have pushed everyone away from my life. Everyone would have been pushed out of my life, and you guys would have pushed me away because I would have been dangerous for you. But because Jesus took that out of my life, do you know what? I can love you. I can pray for you. I can root for you. We can be the best of friends. Miss Catherine, are we not the greatest of friends? 25 years we worked at the children's home. We got an inside joke. We always say SOV, boom, right? And we know it. We laugh every time. I look through the place. I could talk to just about almost every pew. The opportunities of friendship that God has built in my life because he's taken away the darkness and he's given me love. And who doesn't need love? I think of the thief on the cross, hours from death, literally minutes, every heartbeat, every breath. He is closer to hell and he's making it worse. The Bible says the thief on the cross is literally mocking the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's heating up the temperature of hell by the minute. But then he died beside hope, right? And Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them, to the people who drove nails through his hands. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, to the people who spit on him, to the people who mocked him. And that thief began to think, this guy's from another planet, right? Jesus took care of his mother from the cross, if you might recall. The Bible says, like a lamb to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. Every person that had ever been crucified bit and kicked and punched and tried to return pain for the torture that's being led to him. But Jesus willingly took that. And that thief on the cross said, you are not from this planet. Do you remember what he said? Very important first word. He said to Jesus, Lord. Same word Zacchaeus used. You start calling Jesus Lord, you're in good shape. You're on the right path. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the next thing you know, that thief on the cross has had 2,000 nothing but hopeful days. I think about Lazarus. Lazarus, the Bible says, was not just dead, he was stinky dead. Think about what God did. God took the rotting dead body of his friend to prove to you he could fulfill his most hopeful promise. He literally, the Bible says, at that scene, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth in me, though he were, he that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he walked over to that rotting dead corpse and said, Lazarus, come forth. And the very thing that was dead came back to life, proving he is the giver of life after death. Alex, I can't tell you how many times over a coffin I have quoted that scripture to remind the people that believers in Jesus have this great hope in Jesus. Some of you guys were at my grandmother's funeral. And at the end of my grandmother's funeral, I told the story of her last 7 or 8 days. She had lost her mind a little bit. She had been always so astute and so strong. But literally, there was a couple funny experiences. She was trying to feed herself a blizzard, but she could eat ice cream still, and she was trying to feed herself a blizzard, but she was missing a little bit. So I went down and sat beside her. Her depth perception was off, and I said, Meemaw, let me help you. And I started scooping her little bitty bits of ice cream and putting it in her mouth. Her depth perception was off this way. It was not off that way. about the third time I gave her a little bitty bite, she grabbed my hand and she got a big old gob. I put it in her mouth. Do you remember that? You know what I mean? And we laughed, right? But in the final days, she began to miss something. And she began to say, Elvin, where are you? Elvin, where are you? Her husband had died 8 years before her. But she had forgotten that, and in her painful last moments, she was calling out for help to him. Elvin, where are you? She looked at me one time and said, where is Elvin? And I said to her, Meemaw, you're going to see him soon. He's going to be around real soon. But I remember what the Lord told me to tell at that funeral. I remember specifically God giving it to me that because of Jesus, this earth is the world of where are you? Where are you, Elvin? But heaven is the land of there you are. The hope that Jesus Christ brings. And I know the Bible says there's no marriage in heaven, but the Bible also says what God had joined together, let not man cut asunder. And my wife says she's going to sneak over to my cabin. I'm going to let her, right? I'm going to let her. I just am, you know. I'm telling you the truth. It is what it is, right? But at any rate, there's no question in my life that my Meemaw has been reintroduced to my Pawpaw, and so shall they ever be with the Lord, the Bible says, a place of hope. Sometimes the devil does this one thing to us. He gets us to focus on the one thing we don't have, right? And we miss all that we do have. Sometimes you get to see hope spring forth right in front of your eyes. Think about Nick Goodwin's story. Nick Goodwin grew up in our children's home because he was adopted as an infant, and then that adoptive family, and he told me yesterday I could tell this story, the dad died of cancer. And right after that happened, the two people that adopted him, the dad died of cancer, and then their biological daughter was murdered. And when that happened, that mother who had adopted Nick went down a very dark and suicidal road. She actually threatened to kill herself on our campus, but she brought Nick Goodwin to our children's home. He came when he was about 11 years old. He needed a haircut real bad and braces. I would love to show a picture sometime of the transformation, but we introduced Nick to Jesus. And when he was 16 years old, Nick Goodwin found me. We were at a pool party, and we just got back from conference. And he came up to me. He said, Uncle B, I need to get saved. And we walked into the woods at Amberton Subdivision. And he got on his knees in the pine straw and cried out to Jesus to save him. And look at the radical transformation in his life. He's raising his family in church. You know what he told me? He got married. He married a nurse. They bought their first house. They just had their first baby, little baby Layton. And Nick told me, Uncle B, you know what's crazy? When I hold my little baby, she's the first person in my life I've ever met that I'm related to. I've never had anybody in my life that I'm related to. But those days are over in that family. Those days are over because he knows Jesus and he's raising that child in Jesus' name. And in church, oh my goodness, you talk about a crazy turn of events, man, where Jesus is what? There is hope. Don't push away Jesus. Where Jesus is, there's light. I'll skip a bunch of this. You guys know the very first words Jesus ever said, the Bible ever said, God ever said, excuse me, I'll get it right in a second. Let there be what? Light. Heaven has no chandeliers, no lamps, does it? Jesus is there. He's the light. Hell has fire, but it's a place of outer darkness. You know why? Jesus is not there. The Bible says God is light. He is nothing but light. I imagine when Jesus spoke that day, the stars began to shine or the sun began to shine. We don't know if it was still dark morning or if it was daylight, but no doubt light broke into the place. But here's what I want to call to your attention so importantly today. Light shined in their experience, because you remember what the question the disciples had was. Their question was, do you care? Don't you care that we perish? How long into their journey do you think it was before it occurred to them Jesus knows the weather? How long do you think it occurred to them that Jesus decided to go through a stormy sea to rescue just one man? Literally, they chased him off. He only rescued one man. In Jesus' economy, a little discomfort is worth one soul. We need to learn that, right? He carried through that stormy sea to rescue one man. They got it because, you know, later John wrote those words, God is love. Peter actually said, cast all your cares upon him, for he, what? Cares for you. I bet Peter's the one who said, Master, do you care that we perish? He's the most outspoken one. He learned that Jesus cares. Jesus cares. Jesus cares. Here's something that's so critical for you and for me. If you will walk with Jesus, the Bible says his word is a lamp to our feet. It shows us where I am, but it's a light to our path. But I'm convinced that it is radiant enough to help us to understand our past some too. It is radiant enough that we can look back and go, oh, that's why I went through that. Oh, that's why that happened. Not everything in Jesus' life was sunshine and roses either. Jesus didn't have questions because he knew it all, but he had some things that if they had happened in your life would have made you question. I'll give you one. Jesus' dad is dead when he is on the cross. There's no question about it. How is it possible that the giver of life would allow his dad to die before he's on the cross? We can prove that because the Bible says Jesus told John to take care of her and she moved in with him. If he was not, Mary moved in with John. If Joseph was alive, he would never have done that, right? Joseph is good and dead. And why is he dead? Let me just call this to your attention. We can't get bogged down on the questions of life. We've got to just leave those with the Lord. I believe with all my heart there's some people in here who need to leave their why with God and just march on in the light that you have. Because in Joseph's life, before the cross happened, nobody got what Jesus was doing. I've never said anything like this in this church before. Listen, nobody understood what Jesus was doing. Nobody got that he was dying for the sins and going to be raised again and be the Savior of the world. I can prove it to you. Peter said, I don't know him. I don't know him. Blankety blank. I don't know him. John the Baptist said, are you him or are we looking for somebody else? Thomas said, I'm going to have to touch those hands and touch that side before I believe it. Mary is weeping a weep of a sorrowful woman. If she understood what Jesus was doing, she would have been saying to him, I'm so proud of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But she doesn't get it. And since nobody got it, Jesus' earthly father wouldn't have got it either. And let me ask all the men in this church a question. What do you do when somebody breaks into your house to kill one of your kids? I mean, it's a fight to empty the soul, right? And no doubt if Joseph was alive and he didn't understand, he would have felt compelled to form a coup, right? And me, he might have been like Dion. Dion used to use this phrase, you might go down, but you're not going to go down alone, and we're going to take some with. You ever heard him say that? We're going to take some with, right? And Joseph would have been compelled to feel that way. I can't prove to you that that very logical scenario would have played out, but Jesus did not, God did not make a mistake when Joseph died before Jesus was crucified. Joseph went to heaven a hero. He did everything God told him to do. The Bible says he said, marry her anyway, name him Jesus, go to Egypt, come back from Jesus. Joseph was, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. He's a hero. Miss Ellen, can I tell you something? God didn't make a mistake. Dion is in heaven a hero. He was nothing but a blessing. He was nothing but a help. He was nothing but an encouragement like John the Baptist. And we have to leave our whys with Jesus and move on in the light that we have. We push forward with the light that we have. You know why? Where are we going to go if we leave Jesus? He has the words of life, right? He has the words of life, and we must cling to him. The last thing that I'll say to you from this story is Jesus demonstrates right here that he was into saving unlikely candidates, right? I mean, nobody thought this guy was getting help today, right? And Jesus was like, that's just the kind I want. Jesus went to the tax collector. Jesus went to the dark sinner. Jesus went to the women of ill repute. Jesus went to big-time sinners, and he tried to reach them and save them. But I can tell you the truth. Sometimes Jesus reaches into somebody who's been in church their whole life and says, you're just the one I'm looking for. Years ago, I told you when I was dating Melita, Melita got saved, right? It was one of the most shocking moments of our life. We were dating and everything was heading in the right direction. It was looking really good. And one day she called me up and she said, Brian, I've been wrestling with something and I'm deeply concerned because I can't remember when I got saved what I said. I remember I was down at an altar and a guy was praying and he gave me a silver dollar. But when he got done praying, he said, are you saved? And she said, I was more excited about the silver dollar than I was about being saved. And I was like 8 years old and I've based my whole life on that little prayer that I prayed down there and I don't really remember it. And I think I need to be saved. And I remember thinking, wow. I mean, totally changed my thinking. She's the sister of the youth pastor, grew up with this godly family. I'm thinking she's wife material, and now she's not even saved. And I remember that day the church, the choir was singing in a revival, so she went with the choir to go over there, but she got Pastor Snyder before the revival. Anybody here remember that? And literally, she got saved before the church service, right? And here's why I tell you that story. She came home and she got saved and it threw my mind into a total different, I have no idea what I'm going to do this. I don't even know if I knew this girl like I did. But the very next morning I began to wake up and say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to go forward? And God is my witness. The very next day, God told me, you marry her and you guys go work at Calvary Children's Home. You're going to raise those kids together and you're going to make a difference. The minute Jesus stepped into her life, a lot of hope. Can I say to any of those young people in the back, if you got Aunt Melita's story, if she's ever been a comfort, a help, a blessing to you, all of that hope that was directed happened the day she met Jesus. The day she met Jesus. Don't push Jesus away. Where Jesus is, there's light. Where Jesus is, there's hope. Where Jesus is, there's help. Maybe you're here today and you've got a why that you don't get, a good old why that ain't going to get untangled on this earth. Would you be willing to lay it down today and say, I'm leaving this with you, Jesus. I ain't never going to understand that. But I'm going to leave that with you. And I'm going to walk forward in the light that you give. And I'm going to walk forward in the hope that you give. And I'm going to walk forward in the help that you give. Maybe you're in this place today and the Lord has brought to your mind, you need to repent of a sin. You got something in your life that's putting a stiff arm to Jesus and you need to repent of that. That's a great thing to do. That's where real Christianity comes alive, by the way. We say, God, I repent. Maybe you're here today and you, like Melita, can't remember the day you got saved. Maybe you're looking back and you're like, did I really do that? Here's how you can know. The Bible says there's no uncertainty in it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a truth. 2 + 2 = 4. But the converse has to be true also. 4 - 2 has to equal 2. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But also, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If you can say those things are true, you called on the name of the Lord, you can tell there's a new creature, something has changed in your life, you are emphatically saved. But if you have questions, why would you risk it? Why would you risk it? You remember the people in the World Trade Center, they didn't want to burn for a minute. They jumped out of that building, literally. One of them held her skirt down. She didn't lose her modesty. She didn't want to burn for a minute. Two of them jumped holding hands. They didn't lose their friendship. They didn't want to burn for a minute. And you don't want to burn for a minute. Not for a minute. Not when Jesus suffered for you to die for you. I don't know where you're at today, but if the Lord spoke into your heart as they come and they bring a song, I'm going to pray. This altar is an electric place. It's a place where you can connect and do business with God. Would you be willing to come? God, I love you today, and I thank you for this great story in the Bible, and I thank you for these great truths that you do bring hope in life. I didn't exaggerate at all. I actually didn't get it said good enough. You are more hopeful. 1,000 million years of hope await us who have trusted in you, God. And I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you'd be involved, Father. Let your Holy Spirit draw. Father, maybe if there's somebody in this place that needs to make sure that they're saved, let them be drawn to the altar. I'll be glad to help them with that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's going to happen, God. But I pray, God, that we'd get that right. And for any other reason, maybe there's just somebody down here who'd say, you know what? I hadn't been walking close enough to see all the hope, all the light, all the help. God, help me to draw closer, God. Their friends and their people need that in their lives. So I pray that they would do that, God. Do what only you can do. Draw us as you would. Be involved. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If your eyes to your feet. The Lord spoke into your heart about anything, or you want to check in with Jesus, this God of hope, this God of help, this God of light, come on. And if for any reason you are not certain that you know Jesus Christ, God sent that message to you, and He would like to bring that hope in your life.
Even though my spirit's low, and it seems I can hardly go, but still I see victory.
Remember when I started, God wants you to
many
learn to reach to Him.
Many times I'm walking by faith.
I want you involved in my football. I want you involved in my soccer. I want you involved
me,
in my
but
family.
Still, I see victory.
Just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by His blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight.
'Cause
remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
Sometimes our battles get hot, and it seems
hey, young people, it's precious to see
lot,
these gray-haired people down here are still saying we need Jesus.
I'm standing
the Bible says
rock.
When you're young, seek the Lord. while you're young, while your life's still ahead of you,
if I were you,
there being a marvelous example
I
to you today,
and I
still humbling himself,
too,
strong but still humbling himself. Would you come?
You're bound to lose.
I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline. Because I'm covered by his blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. Remember,
sometimes our battles get hot, and it seems we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and I'd give up too, 'cause I do believe you're bound to lose.
I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight.
'Cause
remember, can't cross the bloodline. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight.
'Cause
remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
Dwayne, three times in a row, man. Would you pray for us? Would you seek the Lord for these folks? Yes, God. Yes, God. Help them. Jesus' mighty name. Give them a few more minutes. I want to remind you tonight that we have our fellowship at 5 o'clock. I'd ask you to bring some finger foods today. I'd ask you to be a blessing in that regard. Please come back, and please leave them a little space down here at the altar. They're working some things out. Good. Okay. God bless you.